Okay, if we're ready, we'll continue. Question number 7 says, at the end of the Edo period, why did the shogun return his power to the emperor? Okay, and yeah, oh, you can start. Why did the shogun return his power to the emperor?
In the 18th, no, in the 19th, late in the 19th.
19th century.
19th century. General Perry in the United States came to Japan and forced Japanese government to open Japan. And after that, finally, the government, military government, accepted that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a very big turmoil. Big domains such as Satsuma and Choshu resisted to the shogunate, a military government.
Okay.
And they said, they insisted the shogun's power should be returned to the emperor. And they made allies between Satsuma and Choshu. And together they tried to overthrow the government.
Okay.
And finally, they are successful. So the shogun, Tokugawa Yoshinobu, gave up. And they had to return the power to the emperor. And that is why,
okay, that's why he returned his...
He returned.
Power to the emperor.
Power to the emperor.
Okay. Good. All right. Yeah. This is hard to explain, but yeah, I think that's okay. Good. Let me ask you the same question. We'll go on. At the end of the Edo period, why did the shogun return his power to the emperor?
That is because after the 2 centuries national isolation in Japan, in mid-19th centuries, Japan was eventually forced to open by Western countries, and the anti-Tokugawa leaders, including the imperial loyalists, the lower class samurai, they were very afraid that if the Tokugawa shogunate continued, that Japan would be colonized by Western powers. So they tried to modernize and industrialize Japan by overthrowing the Tokugawa shogunate. And finally, the last shogun, the Tokugawa shogun, Yoshinobu, returned all the power to the emperor in 1867.
Okay, good. All right, that sounds good also. Just that after 2 centuries of national isolation.
2 centuries of national isolation.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay, let's go on to question 8, and it asks, how was Japan modernized after the Meiji Restoration?
After the Meiji Restoration, new government adopted many policies to create modern society, modern economy and society, and under the slogan number, enrich the country, strengthen the military, Japan imported many foreign technologies and the military draft system and educational system, and Japan rapidly very industrialized and modernized. Excuse me.
Okay, good. That's fine, yeah. The reason I just said is how was Japan modernized after the Meiji Restoration? So like, after the Meiji Restoration was finished, how did Japan modernize? The question is kind of, you know, it's not real clear, but it's I know what they're trying to say. I would say like, you know, once the Meiji Restoration started, how did Japan modernize? It's probably the more clear question. Right, after the Meiji Restoration started, how did Japan modernize? But how did Japan modernize after the Meiji Restoration, like after it finished? But anyway, sometimes the Meiji Restoration is just, you know, the restoring of power to the emperor, that one moment in time. And then sometimes, most of the time, it's referred to as a long time during the Meiji period when they were implementing all of these new, you know, technologies and introducing the industrialization and things like this. So that's why it's, what is the Meiji Restoration? Is it just a restoration of the power at the moment, or is it the period of time that these reforms and new things happened? Okay, but anyway, what they want you to answer is here. So basically what happened during the Meiji Restoration is what they want to know. Okay, I'll ask you the same question. How was Japan modernized during the Meiji Restoration? During the period of the Meiji Restoration.
In the Edo era, prior to the Meiji Restoration, there was a caste system, and also the political system was feudalism. So in the Meiji Restoration, the government officers abolished this caste system, and also the feudalism. And it is for modernization according which matches the Western style.
Okay, so Japan's modernization maybe followed the Western style? Followed.
Followed, yeah. Followed Western modernization.
Okay.
And in order to achieve that, they raised three slogans, modern military system, modern political system, and prosperity of the nation.
Okay.
So they introduced a lot of technologies and invited some professors, scientists from the Europe and America, and also abolished many traditional system, or sometimes culture, even culture.
That's probably, don't want to make your answer too long, because I know you could go for more, but that's probably good, and you've answered the question. Okay. In this question and actually question number 9 are kind of almost the same thing, right? And the only thing I think in this answer number 8 and even in number 9, it's not real specific. It's more general. Japan modernized, Japan industrialized, Japan, you know, introduced new culture, but it doesn't give the specifics. You know, what new culture did Japan introduce? What kinds of industries did Japan do? How did Japan modernize? What did they do? They built bridges, they built roads, they built railroads. This is not in this, you know, answer number 8. And even number 9, there's not very much. It's kind of general. Your answer is okay if you don't mention all the specifics. I think it sounds better if you do. But if they ask you then, how did Japan modernize? What did it do? So then they want specifics. But what I'll do is I'll just ask question 9 and maybe give a few specific examples. I think it's a little, you know, more clear. For example, in question number 9, the answer given in the very last sentence, it says, you know, through abolishing the feudal system and introducing Western culture and political systems. But, you know, what kind of culture? What kind of political systems? These types of things would be interesting to know specifically. Okay? So question number 9 has like 3 important questions. It says, I heard the Meiji Restoration was very important in Japanese history. Why was it so important? How did it happen? And what changes did it bring to Japan?
Why? Why is it so important? Okay. Because the changes which have been made in this Meiji restoration restoration is a basis of the current Japan prosperity.
Current Japan's prosperity.
Current Japan's prosperity.
Okay.
So it's very important. How it happened? Because the foreign countries, such as the USA, forced Japan to open Japan, and we had to do that. Otherwise, we would have been invaded and colonized by these countries. So we gave up and we opened Japan, and we developed we made a modernization just like European countries.
Okay.
And the result of what happened. In this restoration, as I said, the Japanese government introduced many technologies and political and economical systems and education systems from European and American countries. And that's all.
Yeah, that's fine. Good. Okay. So you don't need to go into the specifics. That's, they actually gave a good answer. That covers it. Okay. Good. Let me ask you. Why was the Meiji Restoration so important? How did it happen, and what changes did it bring to Japan? Oh, I'm sorry, one more thing. You said current Japan, and actually probably I was thinking after I said current Japan's prosperity. Current Japan to me sounds a little funny. I don't know why, but present day.
Present day.
Sounds big. Present day Japan's prosperity.
Present day Japan's prosperity.
Yeah. Current Japan. You know, I don't know. Maybe we just don't say the expression current.
What, today is okay?
Yeah, today's Japan, nowadays Japan. Probably my preference would be present day Japan is the best to me. Current Japan, current information, we say current news, but it's current sounds like recent maybe. Recent Japan's, it's also funny. We don't say that. Okay.
Present means longer.
Well, I don't know if it means longer, but I don't know. It just has the expression of being now, where current means up to date. Or, we don't say now Japan. So same, some words work, some words don't. The nuance sounds a little funny. Okay, sorry to interrupt you, but I was thinking of that. Okay. So tell me, what is your answer for this? Okay.
The Meiji Restoration took place in 1868, and it brought about drastic changes in politics, economics, and cultures. And the new government adopted the many policies to create a modern society economy. And then Japan rapidly became modernized and industrialized. And for example, particularly transportation and communications was highly developed. And all the major cities were linked by telegraph.
Telegraph.
And the network of a railroad was rapidly spread out. Mm-hmm. Feudal system was entirely abolished, and everybody became equally and no more hierarchy of the society.
Okay, everybody became equal. Did you say equal or equally?
Equally. I said equally.
Okay, everybody became equal. Yeah.
Became equal under the law. Mm-hmm. I think it can be said the major restoration resulted in avoid being colonized by Western powers, and the major restoration was the epoch-making event. This is the prologue to the modern age of Japanese society. Japan.
Good. Okay, one thing, the avoid. Can you say that sentence again? I need to fix the grammar for this. And this is one way of Japan's avoiding, I think you need to say.
Avoiding.
Yeah, try that sentence again. You have your notes there.
It can be said that the major restoration resulted in avoiding colonized.
Japan's, let's say, okay, it could be said that the Meiji Restoration avoided Japan's being colonized. It could be said that the Meiji Restoration prevented Japan.
From being colonized.
That works.
It can be said that the major restoration prevented Japan from being colonized by Western powers.
Right. Good. That sounds fine. Okay. So, what were some of the specifics? I'll ask you. What were some of the specifics in how Japan modernized? What are some specific things the government did?
Government build up their infrastructure, such as transportation and communication. It was very highly developed.
Okay.
And as I mentioned, all major cities were linked by telegraph and the network of railroad. Was spread out.
Mm-hmm. What kind of industries did Japan introduce?
Introduced our
hard? Yeah, so this is what I mean, more real specific, like Japan started the steel industry and iron industry. Why?
To make their new ship.
Right, to make ships and to build railroads. They needed the tracks, right? The railroad tracks. They started what? Textiles, fabrics, I guess. And what else? The infrastructure, they built roads and they built what? Steel and concrete bridges instead of wood and rocks or something. Okay. And they started using fertilizer for farming? Okay. That I didn't hear about. Okay. Right. So these are some of the things you could add. They also, introduced banking, modern banking. They introduced, in the political area, they introduced the constitution based on the Prussian constitution, which is a country that no longer exists, but was between Germany and Poland in that area, which is now Germany and Poland. Okay. So these are the kind of specific things they did. And they started what? Compulsory education. They introduced a centralized army. Right. Okay, so this is why the Meiji Restoration was very important, and I think that's the key. So I think you answered that. So again, in your end, this is a long answer. So if you mention all of these specifics as well, it's too long. Just be prepared to know in your mind some of the specific examples that we just mentioned. Okay? Let's go to question 10, which is a little easier. It's more closer history. Number 11 is a Heisei, so that's easy maybe. Number 10 says, what was the Showa period like after the end of World War II?
After World War II ended in 1945, Japan made a new start toward economic reconstruction as a modern, as a democratic country.
Okay.
And it was Japanese great efforts and support from other countries, Japan experienced considerable social reforms and was carried out. And from 1955 through 1973, Japan see their economic boom, boom.
Japan
experienced
that economic miracle.
Economic miracle was annual growth 10% on average.
Okay.
And post-war Japan features remarkable social changes, include more people living in nuclear family rather than their in extended family, and more love marriage rather than the arranged marriage.
Okay.
More opportunities for women.
Okay.
It's very important.
Okay. Good. All right. Good. Okay. Let's ask him. What was the Showa period like after the end of World War II?
At the Second World War, Japan, all cities in Japan were burned down. To the ash. So
to ashes.
Yeah. So we started from zero base. People had to work. My father's generation. People had to work hard, and as a result of that, they achieved the second biggest economic country in the world.
Okay, they succeeded.
Finally.
Okay, they succeeded.
They succeeded.
Okay, in making Japan.
Making Japan
the second. They succeeded in making Japan the second largest economy in the world. Is that okay?
They succeeded.
In making
Japan the second biggest world economic country in the world.
Good, okay, yeah.
And during that period, we introduced many technologies and also the financing from the America and Europe. It was very helpful. And also, in the constitution, we are inhibited to build up an army. So the American force helped us with the defense.
American what? For American army or American military?
Military. American military. Japan for us.
Right, defends Japan for us.
So we can focus on the economical growth. That is lucky for us. And now we are relatively prosperous.
Okay, right. Okay, good. All right. Let's go on. Okay. And next question talks about the Heisei period, and the answer here in the first sentence starts with the bubble economy that formed at the end of the Showa period suddenly collapsed in 1991, which is true. But it doesn't really tell, you know, when did the Heisei period start or when did the Showa period start. So the bubble economy that formed at the end of the Showa period suddenly collapsed in 1991. So was 1991 Showa or Heisei? By this sentence, we don't know. Right? The bubble economy that formed at the end of the Showa period suddenly collapsed in 1991. So was the 1991 the end of the Showa period or is it the Heisei? So I think, yeah, it is Heisei, but I think you need to give a better time frame for your answer. So the bubble economy that formed at the end of the Showa period, and I think the Showa period ended in, is it 1989? Okay. So the bubble economy that formed at the end of the Showa period, which ended in 1989, suddenly collapsed in 1991 during the Heisei period, during the early Heisei period. So that makes it more specific. So then you have a time frame for this. So the bubble economy that formed during, or formed at the end of the Showa period, which was, which ended in 1989, suddenly collapsed in 1991. In the early Heisei period. Okay? Something like that to give a time frame to this answer. Because I'm not looking at this, I wasn't sure if, listening, you would think, oh, is 1991 Showa or Heisei? Because it doesn't specifically say. Okay, so with that, I will let you answer this question. How you like to answer it, because maybe you're not using this answer given in the book. The other thing here, just before I go on, is in the third line they have here non-collectible loans about the banks. And just to make that simple, and banks had huge bad debt. Banks had huge bad loans. Just something simple, you can make that there. However you want to say. Sometimes they say toxic loans is the current phrase. With this new economic crisis we have, everything now is toxic, like poisonous loan, toxic debt, things like this. Okay, with that, I'll let you answer how you want to. What is Japan like in the Heisei period?
Heisei period. Heisei began about 22 years ago, and just before Heisei, actually in Showa, the bubble economy occurred, and this this collapsed all of a sudden at beginning of Heisei, which is about 22 years ago. And because of that, many bad things happened. Land prices, real estate prices fell down very sharply, and the consumer's price also decreased very sharply. And because of that, the banks, many banks, suffered from bad, enormous amount of bad loans. So some of them were, some of them collapsed, went into bankruptcy.
Okay.
So in the first 10 years of Heisei, our economic situation was very bad, stagnant. Even after that, it's, so now, well, these 10 years, even after the collapse of the bubble, we are still, our economy is stagnant.
Right, still struggling, right?
Still struggling, yeah. And, now, except for Lehman shocks, our GDP is GDP's growth is a little bit stagnant or slow, but except for the Lehman shock, generally speaking, our economy is going up very slowly.
Right, or especially before the Lehman shock, it had kind of improved a little bit, and then the Lehman shock again threw everything in disarray, like everybody's economy.
Okay. Now it's going up.
I think, you know, like I said, better than a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Right. So now we have a little hope. Okay. Let me ask you about Japan in the Heisei period. What is it like?
Okay. The Heisei period started in 1989 after Emperor Showa passed away. And the striking features of the Heisei period are economic chaos and natural disasters. And the first one, economic chaos, Japan experienced the economic bubble at the end of the Showa period, but suddenly it ended in 1991 in the early Heisei period, and it caused a long recession of Japan's economy. Then, on the other hand, in 1993 and 2004, there were two major large earthquakes in Kobe and Niigata prefectures. But Heisei period has also positive aspects. Japan hosted Nagano Winter Olympics and co-hosted the football games of the World Cup with South Korea. These events, two events, encouraged people, Japanese people, having hopes for a bright future.
Okay. What do you think Japan can do to help the economy? What do you think the Japanese government can do to help the economy these days?
After the economic bubble ended, Japan is still struggling. Japanese economy, and there's a long recession of the Japanese economy. But the last year, the new government started, and we Japanese have hopes their Japanese economy would be better, gradually better.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Maybe I'll ask him. Maybe he has some ideas before I... What do you think the government... Because the economy is not very good, what do you think the government can do to help boost the economy?
The new government should be more aggressive and strategic about the how to... concerning the economic growth. They should find the which industry should be encouraged to grow. For example, in my opinion, robotics,
okay.
Space technology, and ecology. These are our strong points in the world. These three are top runner in Japan, in the world. Mm-hmm. So they should, the government should make funding on these area.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's a good. Let's look at the growth areas, right? And maybe some of the government spending has to be better regulated for what they spend money on. Some of the government money is spent on things that probably are not needed as much as other things, right? So they should, you know, refocus what they're spending money on, because some of the pension system and things like this are collapsing, and yet they're still, you know, spending money on things. So I think they need to, you know, fix some of the problems before they spend so much more. So that's maybe some idea. And okay. Good. Let's go to the final question, and then we can have time to practice some other things and review some of these questions. Okay. This is probably, again, an easy question. So, I want to know about Japanese history. Which museum should I visit?
Oh, there are many museums in Japan. But if you stay in Tokyo, you should go to the Tokyo National Museum, in which you can find many archaeological objects and many old arts. So you can trace back the Japanese history. I would say you should go to Kamakura City, Kyoto City, and Nara City, because they are themselves are the museum. There are many temples, shrines, and ruins. So naturally, if you walk around over there, you can find Japanese history.
Right. Okay, good. Okay, what do you think? I want to know about history. What museum do you suggest I visit?
If you are in Tokyo, I would recommend the Edo Tokyo Museum. It's located in Ryogoku on the JR subline and Oedo subway line. It's about 2 minutes walk from the station. And this museum is well prepared for international visitors, and their exhibits are fully translated into several languages, and also audio guide available in many languages. And I think this museum has many artifacts and displays are from the Edo period. And the museum has models, so many of them very full size. Mm-hmm. And so it shows you what life was like the Edo period, so you can see and touch everything, so even children enjoy it.
Okay, good. Right, Tokyo Museum is really good. Mm-hmm. You have like reproductions, as you said, and life-size reproductions and model reproductions, mm-hmm. so it's also good. He mentioned about going to the Tokyo National Museum. Where is that?
Tokyo National Museum was located in Ueno Park, within the Ueno Park, mm-hmm. and it's about 5 minutes walk from the JR Ueno station.
Right, so it's easy to get to. It's close, right? Mm-hmm. Good. Do you know of any? Maybe do you know of any other museums?
Kokuritsu National History Museum.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I don't know the exact name of that. But if I remember correctly, it is located in Sakura City in Chiba Prefecture.
Chiba.
In Chiba. If you are stayed in Chiba Prefecture, Chiba area, and you have enough time before your departure, it's worth visiting this museum. This museum has a lot of artifacts and displays from different ages, different period.
Right. Okay. Right. I think it's called the National National Museum of History. Is that the name in English? I think. But in Sakura, right? So there's that one. There's also a couple of open. I'm not sure of the English name. I really forgot again. They're like open air museums, open air like housing museums. There's something like Minzoku Inn or something.
Oh.
And one of them is in Kogane.
Oh yes.
And I think it's connected. I think it's connected to the Edo Tokyo Museum. So it's like it's the Edo Tokyo Open Air Housing Museum or something like that in English. But it's there, and it has actual like Nagaya, the long houses from the Edo period, and some other period houses. And there's also another one, the same type near. Meiji Mura is in Nikko? Nagoya. Nagoya, that's right. And there's also one near Kawasaki in a place, Ikuta, there's something like I forget, but I think there's one there also that's an open-air museum with older buildings. So you could walk around outside and see, you know, old houses, old buildings. I've never been there, but there's also that. So, good. Do you know where there's a museum to see ukiyo-e? Where can I see ukiyo-e?
Ukiyo-e. I believe you can see ukiyo-e in the Ueno National Museum. I believe. I'm not so sure about that.
And then, yeah, Tokyo National Museum in Ueno.
Tokyo National.
Yeah, they have. That's one place. They maybe depends on how much they have, but they do have some. Yeah. Okay. Anywhere else?
I'm not so sure.
She knows. No? Edo Tokyo, don't they have? Edo Tokyo Museum, I think, has some ukiyo-e. Right. So I think that they have that. Good. Okay. So pretty much we've covered the lesson. What I'd like to do is just quickly go over again a couple of these questions. Okay. So can you tell me what is shogun?
What is shogun? Shogun has two definitions. The one is temporal shogun. The first temporal shogun was one of the first temporal shogun was Sakanoue Tamuramaro, which was ordered by the emperor to conquer the Tohoku area people. And then there are many permanent shogun, which are military leaders in Japan. The emperor ordered them to govern Japan as a military leader. One of them, the first one is Minamoto no Yoritomo, and then Ashikaga Takauji, and then Tokugawa Ieyasu. So three shoguns ruled Japan.
Well, three shogun. You want to say shogun eras?
Shogun eras.
Yeah.
Ruled Japan.
Right. There were three shogun eras.
Eras. Three shogun
eras.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Good. Let me practice with you. Do you think Toyotomi Hideyoshi is an important person in Japanese history?
Yes, he is a very important historical figure of Japanese history, because he was born as the son of farmers, however, he stepped up the ladder, climbed up the ladder step by step.
Climbed up the ladder
step by step, and he finally unified Japan in 1590s, and he conducted extensive social reforms in Japan. And Hideyoshi is a very important person, key person, to develop the Japanese culture as it is today, because Hideyoshi considered art as a symbol of power. He favored enormous social event to show his power, and its culture, such as the tea ceremonies, pictures, and architecture of many castles, were greatly developed under his reign.
Mm. Okay, good. Let's practice a Meiji. Yeah, thank you. Well, let's practice a Meiji restoration problem. What changes took place during the Meiji restoration?
What changes? The Meiji Restoration occurred because of the foreign pressure, mainly from the USA and also England and France. So they were very afraid of being invaded by these countries and colonized by these countries. So in order to avoid this kind of things, they urged themselves to become modernized, such as introduction of European technologies, military system, political system, economic system. So they are successful in doing that to a certain degree. Mm. That is why we are not, we could keep independent.
Right, okay, good. Let me ask you, can I ask you, what period in history are you interested in most?
Very interested in the Azuchi Momoyama period, and this period has three important major historical figures.
Figures.
Mm-hmm. Nobunaga, Hideyoshi, and Ieyasu, and they are one of the best loved figures in Japanese modern societies, and in this period the many powerful military leaders repeated the wars and tried to unify Japan. But these three figures succeeded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, succeeded.
Unifying Japan. And I have another reason why I'm interested in this period, mm-hmm. because many Japanese culture was greatly developed in this period, such as tea ceremony, pictures, and their architectures.
Mm. Okay, good. To you, what is the most important event in Japanese history?
The most important event in Japanese history? I think it's the Second World War. Because until that time, we followed European countries and American countries introducing a lot of technologies and economic and political system, but not yet complete, it's not yet perfect. By being defeated completely by the Allied forces, our land became ashes. So we could start from zero. Then our industrialization and economic and political system were completely reset and started. So in the very short period, I think we could achieve the present day's level. So the Second World War was the biggest event in Japan.
Okay, good. All right, good. I was asking about where I can see ukiyo-e. What is ukiyo-e?
Ukiyo-e is the woodblock painting developed during the Edo period. And typically features the landscape of Japan, Japanese landscape, small wrestlers, kabuki actors, and everyday life of the commoners. And can be enjoyed seeing. Excuse me.
can
be found in their historical museum.
Okay.
The nations.
All right. Who are some of the famous ukiyo-e painters?
There are some famous ukiyo-e painters. One of them is Hokusai Katsushika, and also a famous person is Hiroshige Ando. Katsushika Hokusai, Hokusai Katsushika, I think is the most famous person in the world as a Japanese.
As a Japanese painter, you mean? Artist?
Artist. Okay. Yeah, artist. He made a lot of woodblock paintings, but one of them, one series is we call it Fugaku Sanjuroke, which is 36 paintings, woodblock paintings, drawn with the background of Mount Fuji. So in each paintings, it has always Mount Fuji, small or big, or red or white, or so it depends, but it should have, it has the Mount Fuji. It's magnificent.
Right. Okay, good. I think basically the Japanese name is long, but the English name is the 36 views of Mount Fuji.
36 views of Mount
Fuji. Yeah, I think that's what they call that. He made the 36 views of Mount Fuji. Okay. 36 views of Mount Fuji. Can you tell me about Mount Fuji?
Mount Fuji is the highest mountain of Japan, and it's located on the border between Shizuoka Prefecture and Yamanashi Prefecture, and it is 3,667 meters high.
How high?
Sorry, me no no. Okay, 3,776 meters high, and it is classified as an active volcano. It has a perfect cone-shaped, a very beautiful cone-shaped.
It's known cone-shape.
For cone-shape, and its beauty is known for. Excuse me, other very. Very beautiful mountains.
Okay, it's known as a very beautiful mountain. Okay.
Cone-shaped.
Yeah, there's a way. Be careful that people mix it up. It has a beautiful cone shape.
It has the beautiful cone shape.
It is very, what is it? It is beautifully cone-shaped. So people are mixing it up. So it is beautifully cone-shaped. It has a beautiful cone shape.
Cone shape, what's that?
Cone. C-O-N-E. It's like ice cream cone. A cone is something shaped like this. Not a pyramid, but a round pyramid. What is it? A round pyramid. Not a triangle, but it's round, three-dimensional. So that's what a cone is, right? That's what we say, ice cream cone. So it is perfectly cone-shaped. It has a beautiful cone shape.
It has a beautiful cone shape.
Right.
And the mountain has long been revered as a sacred mountain among Japanese.
Sir. Okay, good. Finished. Okay. All right. And next week, again, we have more questions. A lot of these questions deal with the Edo period. A lot of the Edo period type thing. So it'll be interesting if you like Edo period history. Okay, so thank you for coming, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you very much.